in your Bibles to Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. Praise God. If you've ever visited our Olean church in the warehouse that we're currently leasing, of course, we're in the process of buying a building, waiting for that to go through the lawyers and things like that. But on our wall at the Olean church, we have a big mountain that we've painted up there, and also the verse Mark 11:23 right next to it. And so, praise God. Hallelujah. Mark 11:23. Well, let's pray and believe God for utterance tonight. I mean, you came out on a Wednesday night, you might as well hear from heaven.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, what's the point of, I played church my whole life, it got me hardly nowhere. I'm done playing church. Let's hear from God. Praise the Lord. Father, we love you, we bless you, we praise you, and we magnify you. Lord, we thank you for the word tonight. Father, we thank you that your word will go forth with power, with revelation for us tonight, insight, illustrations. Father God, we thank you that you're going to speak through me, that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I thank you that I will speak as the oracles of God, and there will be utterance, and there will be boldness tonight. Father, bullseyes in people's hearts will be hit. Father, we'll go to a new level of glory. And Father, we'll walk out of here changed and never be the same. And Lord, you'll get the praise and you'll get the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it's so important that we keep our level of expectation and our level of faith up high. On a Wednesday night, you worked all day. Maybe you have more work to go to. Maybe you have to get up early. It's so easy to just get stuck in a rut and think this is just what we do. We come to church. But I'll tell you what, the way that God does things, and we can't miss it, is God gives a message to a man or a woman, and they relay it. And if people will receive it as it came from heaven, they'll be blessed, right? The Bible said Jesus wept over Jerusalem because they knew not the time of their visitation. What was their visitation? A God-filled man in their midst. Amen? Amen. We don't magnify the man or the messenger here doing this, but we understand that's how God does it. And we understand, hey, Pastor Mike's going to say something tonight from heaven that's going to change my life, right? And we give him the glory and the praise, right? Praise God. Well, I endeavor to be a faithful messenger tonight. So let's get started in Mark 11:23. We're excited. This is going to change our lives. You see, this is a good illustration for not being led by the mind or the flesh, because your spirit would rather be nowhere else than gathered around God's word at the buffet table, ready to get stronger. Your flesh might say, I'd rather be somewhere else. Your mind might say, and just so you know, my flesh and my mind say I'd rather be somewhere else a lot of times when Sunday morning rolls around, when Saturday night rolls around, when Wednesday night rolls around. But guess what? I don't give place to my flesh. I don't give place to my mind. I give place to my spirit. And my spirit is ready to stuff its face. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Hallelujah. If you're a part of this church for long enough, you'll know that we camp out on these verses a lot. Because the Bible tells us that we have an answer to the mountains in our lives. Praise God. What's a mountain? Anything that stands in your way. Anything that looks too big to get by. Anything that looks impossible. Anything that looks too hard. Anything that looks too tough. That's called a mountain, praise God. And the Bible says that mountains don't have to stay there, but mountains can be removed. Hallelujah. Thank God for it. Praise the Lord. I was listening on the way home from Saturday night in Olean. I was listening to Brother Hagin off of my phone through my speakers there on the sync system in my vehicle. And he was talking about this verse. And he said something and it struck a chord in my heart. And it's just been rattling around there all week long. And I just wasn't able to move off of this statement. And it seemed good in my spirit to go this direction tonight. But he said, now if you study the life of Brother Hagin, you'll know that he, you know, you can tell a tree by their fruit. right? You can look at that man's fruit of his life and see that he was a legit person in the kingdom of God, did run his course, fulfilled what God had for him, was faithful, and this church is here because of him. The family churches are here because of him. The Dufresne ministry is there because of him. Pastor Webb's ministry, Reverend Greer's ministry, the Durant ministry. I mean, all through down the line can give credit to Brother Hagin. Praise God. He was so faithful to do what he did and start the Bible school out in Oklahoma. But he said this statement. Now, we know that he made a living in the sense for his own personal life and being blessed, and also for the churches to be blessed through Mark 11, 23 and 24. In fact, these verses are what raised him up off the deathbed when he was a young man. And so he said this. He said about this verse that one of the many visitations he had with the Lord, that the, now notice this, the Bible says, "Verily I say unto you," say said once, "that whosoever shall say," that's twice, "unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast to sea, shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe it, those things which come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." The word "say" in some form is mentioned there three times, while the word "believe" is only mentioned one time. And Jesus told Brother Hagin this. He said, "You're going to have to teach the people to say it three times as much as you're going to have to teach them to believe it." And I'll tell you what I have found when I, every time I minister along the lines of our words, I have people come up to me. It doesn't fail. Every single time they'll say, "Pastor, no matter how many times you preach on it, it always reminds me, and I need to be saying more. I need to be watching my words," and different things like that. And it struck me when he said that, because if Jesus said that people are going to need to be taught three times as much, he mentioned saying more than believing 3-1. They're going to have to be taught the saying more than the believing. That means that the majority of people are lacking in that department, in the saying. And that's a problem, because Jesus said you'll have what you say. The more you say it, the more you have it, praise God. We know words are powerful. God created the universe through words. Faith is, and we're going to look at some of those things tonight, by words. And so if people need to be taught it three times as much, it's because they're not doing it. And I, like I said, I see that. I hear it in conversations with folks. Within the first 5 minutes of a conversation with somebody, you can tell where their faith is. How? By the words of their mouth. You know what they're, where they're believing. You know where they're at by the way they're talking, the way, the inflection in their voice and different things like that. And so that struck me and stood out to me. And he said it this way to him. He said, "For it to sink in, they're going to have to be taught three times as much about the saying as they are the believing." So I was meditating on this. And if there's anything a pastor wants, it's for the sheep to get it, because the pastor loves the sheep, cares for the sheep. And I want you to get this principle, because why? What you have depends on it. I heard it said this way one time: if you're not happy with what you have in life, check up on what you've been saying, because you have what you've been saying. If you're not happy with what you've been having, change your saying, because the Bible says what you have is a result of what you've been saying.
Amen.
Amen. And so I want people to get this. I want this to, quote unquote, sink in. And as I was meditating on the word, the Lord gave me this. And what I'm going to do tonight, I've never done this except for youth group, so don't mind me here tonight what we're going to do, but it's going to help you sink in. Now, that's not the word that the Holy Spirit used for me when I was meditating on it. It was when I was talking to the Lord about it, because I kind of felt foolish in what I was going to want to do, and it came up from my heart that this will burn this into their minds. And that's what we need, because it needs to be branded into us. Because our words are so, so important. So we don't understand that. Well, we'll see some things in the Word tonight that you have what you say works not only positively, but it can work negatively too. You'll have what you say. He didn't say you'll have what you say, good or bad. He said you'll just have what you say. And so we need to make sure we're saying the right thing. So go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Now I got you wondering what in the world, Pat, what stupid things he going to do tonight. Well, praise God. Hebrews chapter 4. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Now we know this, that when faith is in operation, faith leads to the promises of God. The promises of God are the manifestations of what God has said in His Word that bring blessing to us, healing, prosperity, whatever God has spoken to your heart. Well, look what it says in Hebrews 4 and verse 1. It says, let us, talking about us, therefore fear, lest a promise being left us entering into his rest. What is his rest? His rest is what he's provided for us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's the abundant life. That's the heaven on earth. That's why Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Do things my way. Remember, he said, in me, you'll have what? Peace. Well, I'll tell you what, I've yet to see a person struggling in their body with much peace. I've yet to see a person struggling financially over and over again that has much peace. Those things come with the gospel. Amen? Amen. Praise God, they come. Peace comes with the gospel. Prosperity comes with the gospel. Sound mind, healing in your body comes with it. He says, let us fear a promise being left us entering into his rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. He's saying we ought to be downright afraid or so careful to make sure that what he's provided, we enter into it. That we walk into it. Why? Because such a high price was paid for it.
That's right.
Amen? Such a high price was paid for it. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached, praise God, unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, now why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So the Bible says that the way that you will be kept out of what God has for you, even though the promises are provided, faith is the way in. The word is your manual or your GPS into what you can have. But the Bible says you can hear about the promises, you can be told the promises, and yet you can be kept out if you don't mix faith with the promises. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Cooking with Pastor Mike. Hallelujah. Are you ready? I'm going to need that table. Jeff, could you bring that table right up on stage so people can see? Welcome to my cooking show, ladies and gentlemen. Praise the Lord. Tonight we're going to be making Ghirardelli double chocolate premium brownies. Right? Come on now. We'll just move this right out of the way. We'll just do it front and center here. Praise God. Now, hallelujah, let me get my little stuff out here. Now, why am I doing this? Because it's going to burn this into your mind. Because what you say is so important. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. I'm going to bring this right over here. Bring my pulpit up to the stage with me. Praise God. No laughing. I'm just kidding. Laugh all you want. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So anyways, the Bible says that they did not mix faith with it, and it didn't work, right? Okay, so this is going to burn this into your mind. Now, why am I doing this? Because this is what the Holy Ghost said to do. So when this message is done, you'll never, ever forget. So I got my ingredients here. I even got them all. I got my little egg. Vinny's back there looking, checking us out. He wants to see what Pastor Mike's doing. I got my oil and my water. So let's open this up here. Now, we did this real good. One of the reasons these are so good is because they don't have much ingredients here. So, wow, we got our brownie mix here. So we got to put this in the bowl. This is going to go everywhere, probably. I got a black suit on. Not good. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? So we're going to just do this, because this is going to help you to see after I mix all these things together here. I hope I get some on my fingers so I can lick it off. Praise the Lord. Actually, can I have that bag again? I'll throw this garbage in there. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your help. Okay. Whoever's cleaning this week, don't forget to sweep up here. Hallelujah, we're going to need it. Okay, so it says we need that. And then it says to add 1/4 cup of water, which I've already pre-measured in this little container here. So we're going to put that in. And then it says to put 1/3 cup of vegetable oil. So we're going to do that really carefully. And then the next one should be fun. It says to add an egg. Look at this guy. Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. It says to add an egg. So I'm going to add the egg. And then we're going to get preaching. Think about that, huh? Pretty good. Okay. So now that's, okay, so it says, this is what we're going for, right? That's what we're going for. It says, all you'll need is 1/4 a cup of water, what's in this box, a 1/3 cup of vegetable oil, and 1 egg. Praise the Lord. Let's bring this back down here, actually, would be better, I think. Now, the Bible said, you said it right there, thank you, sir. The Bible said in Hebrews 4, let's look at it again, in verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So what is he talking about? That these people did not walk into what God had for them because the word was not mixed with faith. Well, let's go back and look. Go to Numbers chapter 13, and we're going to find out what did he mean by it not being mixed. Numbers 13. Hallelujah. Numbers 13. Thank you, thank you. In verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, verse 2, send men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. Now, these were the Israelites after they had come out of captivity, right? Out of being slaves in Egypt. And now God is saying to them, I have a wonderful place for you. Verse 2 is God promising them, or the promise that they could have. Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 6 and verse 12, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So the way we get to the promise is through faith. Well, the Bible said already, when it was talking in Hebrews 4, it's talking about the children of Israel. It said they did not mix faith. Well, let's find out what they did wrong and where they didn't mix it. So in Numbers 14 or 13 and verse 2, he says, this is what I'm giving you. Now go down to verse 26. So remember, he said, go spy out the land. Go see what I'm offering you. And it says, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel. This is after the 12 spies had come back, which two of them were Caleb and Joshua. It said, they came back unto the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. And they brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Now remember, they didn't get in because they didn't mix faith. And they told them and said, we came unto the land whither you showed us or sent us, and it surely flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell on the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, the Canaanites by the sea, and by the coast of the Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than you. Now remember, what did the walled cities, what did the people represent? They represented a mountain. And they're saying right here, we are not able to go against this mountain. That's what they're saying, right? Don't forget that. We are not able to go against the mountain, for they're stronger than we are. Verse 32, they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land, do you see that there? Saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. And the congregation lifted their voice. What's that? Saying. And cried, and the people wept. Wow. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness, and wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? They said, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Now go with me to verse 26. So we see God gives them a promise. We know by the New Testament how we receive promises of God. They're received through faith. Well, now we see what they're doing here and what they're saying. Well, look at how the Lord responds, because remember what the New Testament always sheds light on the Old Testament. You don't interpret the Bible by the Old Testament. You interpret the Bible by the New Testament. The Old Testament's written in types and shadows. The New Testament reveals everything. It sheds the light on the Old Testament. But we know by the New Testament that the Bible says you'll have what you say. Well, what were they saying? Can't do it. Can't do it. But two of them said we could, right? Caleb and Joshua said, we can do this. The Lord said we could do it. We can do this. But the rest of them said, we can't do this. We can't do it. They're stronger than us. We can't do it. That mountain's too big. It's too impossible. It's too much money. The sickness is too great. It's too impossible. I've been in this struggle for years. There's no way out of this. That's what they were saying. That's what they were saying. It'll never get better. It's always going to be like this. Come on. That's what they were saying. That's what they were saying. Well, then verse 26, let's look and see what the Lord thought about this. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say this unto them, Moses, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears. Notice this, as you have spoken. Not what I desire, the Lord is saying. As you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. You'll have what you say. Amen. Praise God. Your carcasses, verse 29, shall fall in this wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall come into this land concerning which I swore to make you dwell therein, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. He said, two people will go in. And they were the two people that were doing what? Talking different.
Amen.
But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them I'll bring in. You shall know the land which you have despised. I'm going to read down through verse 35. But as for you, your carcasses will fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days. Each day for a year shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. Woo! I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in the wilderness. They shall be consumed there, and they shall die. Well, that sounds exactly like what they said. Can't do it.
Right.
They're bigger, they're stronger, they can overtake us. That's exactly what happened. Yeah. They were overtaken in the wilderness, overthrown in the wilderness. Now, let me ask you a question before we get on this God's a meanie idea. What was God's will in the situation? Verse 2 of chapter 13. I give you this land.
Yeah.
What was God's will? Exactly what happened to Caleb and Joshua. Was it God's will for them to wander for 40 years and die in the wilderness?
No.
Absolutely not. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? When it comes to the promises of God, God will allow you to go without. God will allow you to enter in. It all comes down to what you do.
Right.
Amen. Now think about this. The ingredients were there for success. You had the word. What was the word? I'm giving you the land. You had God who said, I'm giving you the land. I'll work through this situation. You had people. It takes people, doesn't it?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you had words. The problem was, it was the words that got them in trouble. Now remember, Hebrews 4 and verse 2 says they were kept out because they did not mix faith. What was the mixing? What was the problem of why they were kept out? Their words. What did he say? I'm keeping you out because of what you said. As surely as you have spoken in my ears, that's what I'm going to do. He's saying, you'll have what you say. So what, ladies and gentlemen, is the mixer? The mixer is the tongue. Hallelujah. Their tongue was wrong, and it kept them out, yet Caleb and Joshua merely just said something different, and they got to go in. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so vital that this burn into you, that this sink into you, this importance of saying our words, and we'll see this more as we go on tonight, have power.
Amen.
They have power. So let's look at this now. Praise God. We're going to look at three things concerning the tongue being the mixer. Number one, are you ready?
Amen.
When it comes to receiving your promises of God and walking into them, you can't not say anything. You can't just be quiet and do no mixing. Now let's look at this bowl of brownies. Now in here are all the ingredients that this box says, and I've seen it works, that this box says will come out to look like these brownies. They look a lot different than what it looks like in here. The box says that they'll come out. So this pan, of course, we know we can't stick this in the oven, but let's say we transferred these ingredients into a brownie pan and stuck it just like this in the oven. Are they going to come out looking like this? Why? All the ingredients are there. All the ingredients are there. They haven't been mixed. You can't not mix the brownies and expect them to come out. You can't just expect the Word to be there and God to be there and you not do any mixing and expect the promises to come out. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. I'll show you what the Bible says about it. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. You'll never look at brownies the same. Praise God. You'll say, my God, that's a faith lesson, making brownies. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. Go ahead, stick your brownies in like that without mixing them and see what comes out at the other end. How long do these have to go for? Well, it depends on the pan size, but it looks like average around 40, 45 minutes. Just drop that in a pan that you can stick in the oven and see what comes out. Just sit around. Just expect, well, the Word said it, and, God's God and God's big. I just expect to walk into my prosperity. I just expect to walk into everything God has for me. No, not unless you're mixing with something. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. He said, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. He said, I believed, comma, and therefore I have what? Spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. Now this might not jump out to you as much until you start really looking into the word more. But what I mean by that is that word spirit there. In the Greek, if you look up that word spirit, when he says we have the same spirit, it's likened to the word vital or vital signs. He's saying we have the same vital signs of faith. Well, in the human body, aren't there vital signs? And what do the vital signs tell us? That there is life. Take away the vital signs and you take away life. For someone to be alive and well, there have to be vital signs in their life, right? Pulse, heartbeat, things like that. Praise God. Well, the Bible said faith, which what? Translates into the promises of God. The Bible says that faith has to have some vital signs. For faith to be truly alive, there has to be vital signs. What are they? Believing and what? Speaking. Saying. He said, we have in the same vital signs of faith, according as it is written. I believe, and therefore I speak. Well, didn't the Bible say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak? Remember the Bible said in Romans 10 that with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto the promise. That's how it works. You hear the word, it gets into your heart big enough where it just bubbles out and comes out of your mouth. That's why you can tell where people's faith is when you go up to them. How you doing? Oh, not so good. Oh, I'm not, just hanging on. Well, yours is to show me what's inside you, because what's inside you is bubbling out of you. Amen? And he said, if you want to have, and that's why Brother Hagin said, he said, a lot of times, and I found this to be the truth as well, it's not the believing where people struggle. See, the children of Israel, they saw God part the Red Sea up until this point. They saw manna fall from heaven. They saw a pillar of cloud by night and a pillar of cloud by fire by night and a cloud by day. They saw mighty works of God. They saw the rock turn into water. They saw God provide for them supernaturally. They knew God could do it. The believing wasn't so much the issue as what they were saying. Amen. He said, what you said is going to keep you out. He said, your saying is wrong, you're kept out. Well, Paul's saying here that if you want to have a vital sign or your faith wants to really be alive, you got to mix it with something.
Right.
You can't just not mix it. You can't just not say anything. Well, that's what the word says. No, it's like the brownies. Throw them in the oven like this and they're going to come out one big glob. We should try it to see. I can't imagine it's going to look good. Or taste good. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. Go to Mark 11:23. Do you know that on my iPad here, I have a confession list? You say, you do? I sure do. Why? Because the Bible says I'll have what I say. So I want to make sure I'm saying. And every day I'm saying this stuff. Why? I'm just speaking to the mountain every day. Amen. Why? Because I'm going to show you why. Mark 11:23. Look at what he says here. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he says. Notice he doesn't say the mountain goes away by hoping, by wishing, by just, you know, using all, you know, just really just meditating as hard as you can. No, the mountain moves by saying. I remember when we were in here, I think Jake was in here, and maybe it was Heather as well, we were testing out the sound maybe before the first service or something. I think Reverend Scott was in here. And they asked me to preach, just get up here with this microphone and just start saying stuff. Well, I really don't know what much to say. I kind of felt dumb, and so I just started preaching to get the, you know, the inflection of my voice and different things to know where they need to set the levels back there before our first service. And I remember this, up from my heart came these words. If you don't say, the problem will stay. Remember when I said that? As I was preaching. And now it seems so simple, but it's exactly what the Bible said. And I preached that. I said, that's the first time I had ever said that. And I was just messing around. If you don't say, the problem will stay. Because the Bible says the mountain is only moved when you speak to it. Amen. Hoping that God moves the mountain is not biblical. It's not being skillful with the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're done playing church and done playing religious. We want to be victorious. We want to rule and reign. Well, then you got to be skillful with the word. You got to actually do what the Bible says. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If you don't say, the problem will say. So number one, you can't not mix anything. You got to have something mixed. But number two, are you ready? Amen. Just like the brownies, and I'll show you in a second. You got to mix it, but you can't use the wrong mixer. What do I mean by this? Well, here we go. I brought a couple things to mix with. I brought a spoon, and I brought a straw. Now, the straw, to get the consistency that you need to put it in a pan, is this the right mixer?
No.
Now, you know, we have a KitchenAid mixer. I don't know what you use, but that spoon will do the job, and we'll do that in a second. But this is not ideal to get the consistency that you need to dump into a brownie pan to put in the oven. I mean, I could sit here and 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 mix this, and I'm telling you, it doesn't look like anything's changing in here. It's just, I don't want to do it too much because you dump all over the floor here, but I mean, my goodness, that's the wrong mixer.
Right.
And you know what we can mix some things, but we mix wrong by saying wrong. Now, I did this on purpose because I wanted to blast religion between the eyes. I brought a straw with a heart on it. Why did I bring a straw with a heart on it? Because if you think that you can just do some mixing by just whining and groaning and moping to try to tug at the heartstrings of God to get him to move for you, you are wrong. Whining and groaning and moaning and complaining and trying to get God's heart to move because your situation's so tough and things are so hard. They tried it and it did not work. It says the people wept and cried. Lord, we want to go in. Lord, we were just slaves. Let us in. God didn't say, oh, my poor people. You've tugged on my heartstrings. You're mixing, and you're mixing with that. My God, people, even though you're mixing with all your heart, you think, and you're trying to pull on my heartstrings, it's the wrong mixer.
Right.
And they were kept out.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not trying to be not compassionate. There are things that move us to tears, and there are situations we face that, my goodness, they take us back and, oh, man, life can seem hard, but you know what? To get out of those situations, groaning, moaning, complaining, whining, and crying is not going to get the job done.
Right.
It's just not. We see it with precedence in the Word of God. That doesn't. But what happens when you use the right mixer? Oh, boy, now things are moving. Now things are moving in here. Oh, yeah. Let's just work this baby up. Why? Because I want to try it. My favorite thing about brownies is what? The batter. In fact, I'm not sure if this is wise or not, but whenever brownies are made at our house, I always have a complaint that not enough is left in the bowl. I am sometime just going to make one of these and just sit there and eat it until I get sick. Keep your opinions to yourself. I don't do what I want. Praise God. Father, you saw me just mixing it, so you can't mix it with the wrong things, can you? You got to mix it with the right. Now look how nice that's looking. Oh, I mean, oh, seriously, someday. You know what? Super Bowl Sunday, I have reserved for myself a menu that my in-laws come over and we just have so much food. That is, gluttony is allowed that day. I believe it's in the Bible. I've yet to find the verse, but I'll find it. And but that day, one of the things I'm so excited to make is I'm making a whole pack of bacon for myself. And I'm just going to eat it until I don't feel like eating it anymore. Amen? And now I think that just got added to the list. Brownie batter for me. Praise God. But you can't use the wrong mixer. Go to Proverbs 6 and verse 2. Isn't God good to help us like this? You won't forget it. Proverbs 6 and verse 2. Look what Proverbs 6 and verse 2 says. You, wait till it gets up there, Proverbs 6, 2. He said, you are snared with the words of your mouth. You are taken or you are trapped with the words of your mouth. Listen to what the Amplified says. You are snared with the words of your lip. You are caught by the speech of your mouth. Do you see that there? We live in the country, and I figured out what where to put the mouse traps to get the mice before they get upstairs into the cupboards and things. I've figured out where they come in because we've not had a problem since I've set the traps in these certain spots. And so, but before I learned that, we had a mouse in the cupboards, and it was, we saw it digging through some cereal boxes and things and seeing some droppings on the table. And oh, if you know me, that's not good. I'm not good with critters, you know. And anyways, that mouse is up there. One night, I came down from my office into the kitchen late at night, and I had known this mouse was there, and we had set traps. And there he was on the counter, his beady little eyes looking at me. And I'll tell you what, the fear of God struck me from the top of my head to the bottom. I was terrified. That little thing sent me shaking, and I'm not afraid to admit it. And I'm saying, okay, how am I going to do this? And so I'm maneuvering, because my thought was I'm going to whack him on the head. I'm going to go something as far away as I can, whack him on the head. And so I'm setting stuff on the counter to try to, like, box him in so he has nowhere to go so I can get to him. But he wiggled himself behind this little metal thing that we had on the counter that holds apples and bananas and stuff like that, and I couldn't get to him. And I was so frustrated, and I'm just, most of the men in here would have just went after him, got him, but I'm not like you. I'm not. And so I'm trying to figure it out. And all of a sudden, it was like, you remember in Acts chapter 2, it says, and there came from a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. All of a sudden, boom, heck broke loose. That's what happened. This mouse made a break for it. He went like it was his runway, running as fast as he could on that countertop. And he went, flew off that thing. I mean, in the air, looked like one of those skiers that come off the big mountain. He had good hang time, hit the ground and ran down the grate. I said, that was impressive. I could not believe my eyes what I had just seen, but he got away. Well, we had set one of the traps. Morning comes. She tells me, we got a mouse, but it's still alive. And I can hear up in the cupboard, it's flopping around. And she says, I looked up there, and its leg is caught. Now, being the brave head of the home that I am, I said, do not tell your dad, but you need to take care of this. That was exactly what I said. I said, get it into a bucket. I'll take it outside, but I can't get it from there into a bucket. I mean, I just was terrified. I gut deer. It doesn't bother me, but I'll tell you something about it. Just, I can't do it. Oh, I can't do it. I'm just... The day a bat ever flies into my house is the day you probably have my funeral. It just would be over. And anyway, so she, I talked her into it, begged her not to tell her dad, talked her into it, and she got the mouse in that bucket. But this is my point. That mouse before it was snared, ran free, ran fast, jumped and flew and went where it wanted to go. But as soon as it was snared, the snaring ended up leading to death. And the Bible says you are snared with the words of your mouth. Just the same way your words can snare you and stop you from going to all the places that God has you, the same way your words can free you and walk you into blessings like you never thought possible. Amen? Go to Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life. Ladies and gentlemen, that's huge. Death and life. Well, we saw that was true for the children of Israel. He said, your carcasses will fall. You will die here. Well, why didn't they get in? He told them, your words have been stout against me. My God. He says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So evidently, the tongue has power. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You're snared with the words of your mouth, and it can lead to death and destruction in your finances, in your family, in your job, in your body. I mean, that's what it says. So number two, you can't use the wrong mixer, but you got to use the right one. Amen. God, that looks good. Oh, that looks so good. Anyways, number three, and we'll close. This won't take as long. Praise God. So you can't not mix with anything. You can't not use the wrong mixer. You got to use the right mixer, which we did use the right mixer. What is the right mixer? Go to Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. And I'll give you an example of how to do this to make it simple for you. So we got to use the right mixer. Man, we did. It's all mixed up in here. Man, oh man, the right mixer. Isn't it amazing how two different things just changed everything? Imagine if you started speaking different. Imagine if you, see, we say, well, yeah, but that's not, my situation doesn't look good. He didn't say, call it like you see it. He said in Romans 4, he said, call those things which be not as though they are. Call it like you want it. Call it like it can be. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6 and verse 17, go to 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Well, man, I'll tell you what, a sword would mix this up, wouldn't it? Take the sword of the Spirit, notice this, which is the word, or the Greek word, rhema, which means the spoken word of God. Remember, it didn't mix right. They didn't mix faith. What were they mixing wrong? With their words. Their words kept them out. But Caleb and Joshua got to go in, and what were they saying? We could do this. This is ours. God said we could have it. So, ladies and gentlemen, you want to get what's off of this page, or to get what God put in your heart, and to get it outside in the manifestation, in the natural realm, to see it manifest, to get it that from here to there, you're going to have to say the right things. He'll have, in the natural, what he says. Well, what are we supposed to say? Whatever the word says we can have about that situation. If your needs aren't being met and it looks like chaos financially, you need to start mixing faith with what the word says. How do you do that? My God shall supply. When you go to pay your bills, my God shall supply. When you go to the doctors, they're saying it's impossible. My God said, he healeth my diseases. My God said, by his stripes, you start mixing the word, speaking the word, applying the sword, you're mixing the right thing. And when we do everything right, we put it in the oven for the time and mix it right, it comes out looking like this. But when we just expect, you know, all the ingredients, the word's there, the preacher's there, people are there, God's promises are there, but we don't mix with anything. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says with the mouth, go with me real quick and we'll close with this. Romans 10, we'll finish on this. Romans 10 in verse 8. But what saith it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. Notice the word has to be in two places. In your mouth and in your heart. In your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith. What is the word of faith? When the word is in your heart and when the word is in your mouth. Has to be in two places. Can't just stay in your heart. He says, which we preach, Go down to verse 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Now let's look at this in terms of salvation, because that's the context he's talking about. With the heart man believes unto righteousness. Well, isn't that what happened with you? You found out Jesus died on the cross. He rose again. You believed that, didn't you? But you didn't get saved at the believing. Did you? No, you didn't get saved at the believing. Because the Bible says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Take away the confession, and there's no salvation. You can believe it all you want, but you say, well, I don't. Why does it work that way? I don't know. That's what the Bible says. Just live with it.
Amen.
Brother Hagin would say this, the confession brings the possession. The heart, you believe, but the confession, you want to make it yours, you got to get it in your heart, but then you got to say it, my God will meet all my needs, my God will meet all my needs, I'm walking in health, my kids are going to serve God all the days of their life, this job's coming to me, the right vehicle, the right spouse, the right whatever, you got to say it.
Amen.
Don't just sit around.
That's right.
And expect. I've dealt with people for years, I say, are you starting to say anything different? No, not yet. Start saying the right spouse is coming to me. Every day, wake up and say, I'm a wife. Every day, wake up and say, I'm a husband. Wake up and say, I'm a money magnet. Wake up and say, I'm a picture of health from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. It always works out for me. I get the right job. Promotions come to me. It's going to turn for me. It's all going to turn for me. Start saying it. Stop grumbling. Stop being like the children of Israel and whining. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work. Got to mix it right, ladies and gentlemen. That's mixing the word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. We're so thankful for the word. We're so blessed. Father, I'm reminded of different things that I need to do and different things I need to get my saying on more. Oh, how we can become so, just fall into a rut of repetitive and mundane, and we just don't do what the word says. But Father, we're not just going to not say anything, and we're not going to say the wrong things. We're going to say the right things. We're going to say it every day, and when the thought comes to us, we're going to say it. Doesn't mean we have to every single day of our lives, for every minute, be saying it. But when we think of it and make it a point to do it every day, we're going to release our faith. Because why? With the heart, man believes, but with the mouth, confession. The more we say it, the more we have it. You said three times to say, one time to believe. So we need to not only be taught it three times as much, but we need to say it three times as much. Hallelujah. So, Father, we believe it. We thank you for it. Things are going to be different for us. Our tongue has the power to produce life, so we thank you. It's going to happen. Now, Father, if I could ask everybody to bow their heads, close their eyes, I know that everybody in here is born again, but I don't know if everybody listening is or in the future. So if you're listening, and if by chance for some reason somebody in here isn't born again, and I'm just ignorant to that fact, the Bible says all you have to do is receive Jesus. Ask him to come into your heart. Believe that he rose from the dead. Confess that with your mouth. And the Bible says you're saved. Well, Jesus died for you on the cross. It's simple. And if you're listening to my voice in whatever manner, don't pass from this life until you've made Jesus your Lord. It's a free gift. All you have to do is say, Lord, I believe. Come into my heart. Save me. And he will. And then get hooked up in a good Bible teaching church. Father, we thank you right now. We bless you and glorify you. In Jesus' name. Amen. This is what I'm going to dare you to do. I'm going to dare you to go home. You can look up here now. I'm going to dare you to go home and make a confession list. What are the things on your heart that you're believing God for? What are the things that God has spoken to you in his word that it doesn't look that way in your life? I'm going to dare you to say it every day. I'm going to dare you when the devil comes and gives you wrong thoughts that it's not going to happen to actually speak up and say what the word is going to say. I'm going to dare you. We're going to put the word to the test in our life. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, Father, we love you tonight. We praise and glorify you. Father, is this a good place to unhook? I just want to make sure there's nothing more that you want to do. It seems good in my heart to end right there, but Father, is there anything else? Father, I don't sense anything in my spirit. So thank you for the feeding we received tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you all Sunday morning at 10. You're dismissed. No sweeter